What's up, Seth?
Hey, Chris. Welcome to my podcast, Sports and Games and Ghost Stories with Seth.
Okay.
I'd like to interview you for my podcast today.
All right.
I know you're a big gamer too, and I also know we've done some wrestling too. I seen on your podcast you did one on wrestling, and
oh yeah,
definitely. What was your favorite wrestling federation? Was it WWE, WCW, or you didn't really have one, or what?
Well, I've always liked the WWE, formerly the WWF. It was just they always did a really good job as far as stories and things like that. At least in the past, they did, and. WCW, it wasn't awful. It was just a totally different style. If you liked pure wrestling, I would say WCW would be a pick because they focus more on the actual wrestling. And if you were in favor of storylines and things, WWE always kind of beat them hands down to me. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Okay, that's and everyone's has an opinion, and it's. And when that's what makes us different. I remember in college I always liked WCW, but I remember though when I was even younger though I liked WWF.
I think when you were in college, WCW was actually beating WWF because they were that was back when the NWO was around, and that's when they were actually doing a really good job story-wise of getting everybody interested. And at that time, I had switched as well to WCW.
Okay, cool. Cool. And now they've even got wrestling games where you can go ahead and create your own wrestling characters and
Oh yes. And
relive those old wrestling moments. I remember one of the biggest failures I always thought about WCW though was they had built up their Great American Bash, first took place in Baltimore, and it turned out to be one of the biggest duds I can ever remember in there.
Yeah, that happens quite a lot with the wrestling shows sometimes. Mm-hmm. You're like, ugh, this is horrible.
It was like, how could you do this? One of the more interesting wrestling matches, I thought, though, that was in the Great American Bash, but it still was kind of let down, too, from what I heard, was supposed to be Vampiro did, like, a Human Torch match with...
Did he do it with Sting?
Yes, with Sting, and it was like Sting lost it because he got a little bit singed. His Vampiro, and I was like, but I understand. I understand that they didn't want to go into much because something like that.
Yeah, it can be dangerous.
Right. But still, I was like, why couldn't they have done a different match altogether? I mean, come on.
I think it would have been better. It was more just something to pull you in, like, oh, I want to see this. But logistically, it's really difficult to do something like that.
Right. And I remember back when you used to have your Backyard Wrestling Federation, I was trying to bring in some of those old, I know yours was more centered around the WWE, and I was trying to recreate some of the WCW.
Oh yeah, the Dungeon of Doom. I remember them.
Yep. It was kind of based off the. It was a knock. It was a very cheap knock off the NWO.
I hear ya.
Changing topics, but still staying with games. What's been your experience with Bethesda games? I've had kind of a good experience with them. Daniel's had he's had some good experiences with them too. What's been your experience with them, Chris?
Well, for the most part, Bethesda games, you know, that's been really good to me as far as you can't knock Skyrim, because Skyrim probably is, and Oblivion, really good Bethesda games. The Fallout series was good until Fallout 76, you know, cough, cough.
Right.
I know you like
Fallout 76. Right, right.
But, yeah, and that in itself wouldn't be bad if they just made some improvements, I think, to it.
Right.
But Bethesda, probably my favorite one, it had to be Skyrim, maybe. I mean, I really like New Vegas as well, so it's kind of a toss-up between the two.
Right. And I did like New Vegas, and I love New Vegas, but I admit though I did like Skyrim too. It had like some. I made saves just because I liked a beautiful place up in the mountains that they had, and it was just. And there's like one place I think it was kind of like it reminded me of like the Northern Lights.
Yeah, they had a lot of great scenery there in Skyrim.
Yes. Yes. And what's the draw of Oblivion and Skyrim? I mean, obviously graphics for one thing, but what's another part of the lure that draws you into playing those games?
Pretty much just there are lots of missions and things for you to do. You can go almost anywhere on the map. You can pretty much just say, hey, I'm just going to go here and work on different missions. And there's so much just to see. You've got tons of things to see.
Right. Right. And I know in Oblivion, they didn't have dragons in that one, but they brought in dragons in Skyrim.
Yeah, the Oblivion, your main opponents were the Daedra, you know, and they were trying to invade the real world and turn it into Oblivion.
Right.
And so you're fighting a lot of demons.
Yes. And I remember they picked a very good actor for Oblivion, Jean-Luc Picard. Wow.
Yeah, they sure did, yeah. Because when you heard his voice, you automatically were like, hey, this is cool. You know, because there's the guy from Star Trek Next Generation.
Right. And who doesn't like John Bard?
Maybe his ex-wife. Just kidding, I don't even know if he was married.
Probably. And with Skyrim, they built on that with the dragons and whatnot, and they also, it seems like that, you know, for those who hadn't played the Elder Scrolls, and I have to include myself in that, there's like an Elder Scrolls game that was set around the Dark Elves, and I cannot recall it to save my life.
It's not Daggerfall, is it? Because I never played that. That was, wasn't that the second one?
Morrowind.
Yeah, Morrowind. Yeah, okay, there you go. I know it was, you know, one of those two.
Hey, have you ever played Morrowind, Chris, or not? I know I haven't.
No, I haven't.
But supposedly, one of those DLCs was kind of like a throwback to Morrowind, and
you must be talking about the online, the Bethesda does an online, what is it? It's not Skyrim, Elder Scrolls Online. I think it had a DLC that had to deal with some with Morrowind, and it's similar to, you know, how you in Fallout 76 you can be online and play with other players,
right?
That there's the Elder Scrolls Online, you can do that as well.
And also, I've heard the Elder Scrolls Online, speaking of that real quick, oh, I didn't matter which one was. It was about Solstheim. But anyway,
okay, gotcha.
Going back, Anyway, going back to Stephanie's, going back to Elder Scrolls Online, I've heard that was as bad or worse than Fallout 76. Confirm or
Yeah, well, I liked it better than 76, but it did have issues. I mean, it did have people you could talk to, like Fallout 76 doesn't. But like, if you went to a dungeon and killed a boss, or I went to a mission in a city and I killed this man, and this man, while I was checking out the armor that he dropped for me, within about 10 seconds he respawned. I was looking at my armor in my inventory, and he's like, "How about you?" And I'm like, "What the world?" And there he was alive again. And it's a so when they the way they designed it is it just constantly respawns. So I guess when the next person comes in, they can battle it. It doesn't there's not a period of cooldown where he's dead and he's not there. He's there within seconds after you kill him.
That sounds interesting.
It was, they might have improved it because I haven't played in quite some time. But when I was playing, that was one of the things I was like, that's not really that super cool. But I mean, I did like it. I just didn't have, I ran around with Yellow Fever for just a bit, and then we got involved in Destiny.
Right. And Yellow Fever's someone, he's another one of our friends out there in PlayStation land. James Goodson, I believe his name is.
His secret code. He's gonna kill you now. No, I'm just kidding. Nah, he's a good guy.
Yes, he is. But getting back though, so, what all can you get do in the Elder Scrolls Online?
Ooh, it's been a while. I know you can join lots of different guilds. You can be almost any race. You can use magic, you can use swords. That's a real generic description. There's probably a lot more you can do, but I just tried to create someone of each race to play with, and I stuck mostly to swords. Magic, I wasn't that good at, so I was gonna stay with swords and weaponry.
Okay. Oh, and for those of you who are not familiar with what race has to do with Elder Scrolls and with the Elder Scrolls series is you have there's like different creatures you can be in the Elder Scrolls series for Skyrim and Oblivion. Like one of them looks like a lizard type creature, another one looks like a cat, another one is like a sorcerer, another one is like a warrior. A dark elf too, I think, is another one. Have I covered all of them, Chris?
Probably a great deal of them. Unfortunately, since I hadn't played it recently, I don't recall how many classes. I know there's tons to choose from. To me, not knocking Fallout 76, but it has more. But that's because I think it's been out longer, and
Right.
they've definitely, basically, they've definitely worked a lot on it, and Fallout 76 could turn into something like that.
Right. And Fallout 76, of course, well, grading on a curve, I guess you have to grade on a curve because it's the very first online Fallout I've ever.
Yeah, it's tough to be tough on it because it is a good game. Fallout's a great game, but when they designed it, it's like the game I like to play, Destiny. They think, hey, this is a great idea. This will work wonders, and then it just doesn't go over that well, and then people are like, oh, I hate this. And
Right.
that's kind of what's happened with Fallout 76. They thought, hey, let's not put any NPCs in, and then everybody freaked out about that. And which isn't really a big deal, but it sort of is, because people are used to seeing other characters to interact with.
Right. Because I remember a lot of times when you're in Fallout, you come across it's supposed to be how you would react in a in the night in a world where the United States was recovering from being c coming out of a nuclear holocaust and nuclear disaster, nuclear war. But anyway, it's like the U.S. is trying to recover from that. And just like you, Chris, I mean, I remember interacting with several different people, and that's how you got a feel for your environment, was you took to a lot of the NPCs, and you asked them, hey, you know,
and honestly, what I think, if they had put NPCs in, people would still complain about it, but they'd be more happy. I mean, that would have probably saved them a lot of grief if they had just did that, you know.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree, because it's just kind of like tradition, because that's how you get the feel for your environment. And I mean, it was in Fallout 3, it was in New Vegas, it was in Fallout 4. So you're kind of like, why is it not here in Fallout 76?
I know, right?
And Chris, what were some of the big things? What were some of your favorite moments from Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 3? While we're on that,
ooh,
on it.
Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 3. It's been a while on Fallout 3. I'm not sure. I know Vegas was going back to one of the podcasts we did previously, is that when I blew up those people in the church at the wedding, even though that was not story related, that was that was probably one of my favorite moments. A very drastic thing to do. But story wise, I mean, I liked that I decided at one point, in Fallout 3, this is where sometimes Bethesda games have bugs in it. I was playing a straight up good guy. I was like, I just wanted to do the good guy. And I went down into this basement, and every time I tried to leave, my game crashed. So my good guy character got trapped in a basement. I didn't have any previous saves. I didn't anticipate getting stuck somewhere and having to go back to an old save. I had zero saves to get me out of this, and there was no patches coming. And I was like, so I started over, and I did a bad guy, basically, character in Fallout 3. And I carried that over into New Vegas. And one of the moments in New Vegas that I liked was I was being such a bad guy that they sent a hitman after me to try to kill me. Every time I come out of a building, there would be these people waiting on me because I was doing these evil things. And so that was one of the things I enjoyed about New Vegas, was you never knew when you were walking outside of a building when somebody was going to ambush you.
True. There's like there's different. Do you remember which faction was coming after you, Chris, for doing this, or was it just a random kind of a?
I think it was some sort of somebody had paid a bounty on them. I don't know exactly what faction. I don't think it was like the people that were dressed in the Roman armor. It wasn't them. It was people in cowboy hats. Maybe it was the. What is that group called? The one of the first groups you meet, it might have been them that sent it. I can't remember what they were called.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. I can't remember if they were in Fallout 3 or New Vegas 1, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
They were the Watchers or the Watchmen, the Regulators.
That I think that could have been the group. That sounds familiar. So I bet you that was the group that was always coming after me. And New Vegas, you know, because I had that experience of Fallout 3. I started running nothing but villains and just doing the villain role, sometimes open doors that the good guy role wouldn't, because if you're a good guy, you're going to follow the line, and when you ran a bad guy, you had no morals, so you could do some questionable things and get things done.
Right. There's that's something you could do in that's something I did in Fallout New Vegas too, when I rolled my bad guy, was I was like, well, I really have no loyalty to any of these factions. So I was going to do whatever I jolly well please.
There we go.
And And when I was in Good Springs, I just like, I'm going to side with the, I'm going to side with the prisoners here. And so we cleaned out the good people from Good Springs. And then I'm praying, I can't remember exactly what I did. I remember my good character slightly good, but she was definitely evil. I want to say she probably her finest hour though was she had led the she got a for a female character in the Legion. I remember she had really given the NCR a very good run for its money, and against the general, which that's one of the endings you can have is you can side with any of the four factions, NCR, Caesar's Legion, Mr. House.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, man. She actually took them all the way and defeated the NCR, which for, if you look at how the Legion is structured, it is very much against women.
I encountered that too because my character was also a lady, but they let me fight in the pit anyway because some people didn't want me there. But the leader, he likes me, so I got in.
Right, and my character, sometimes, for the most part, they didn't let her fight, except there's like two exceptions. One, I could fight against an animal if I wanted to, or two, I could fight against the very guy who was supposed to kill me and fail miserably.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. That was very, to say the least. You can, in Vegas, you have to get, I was talking about an animal, you have to, there's like this optional quest where you can get a new brain for this dog named Rex, and you can get it from this old lady near Novak. There's like another place you can get it off this, they call them fiends, but they might as well be raiders. From, if you remember, Chris, you remember Fallout 3's raiders? It's where the fiends are raiders, same deal.
I wish I could remember. I'm not sure. I know they were both, you had to battle them both at some point.
Right. But basically, the Fiends and the Raiders were, the Fiends in Fallout New Vegas, very, very much heavy drug addiction on Kims and whatnot. And you could get a brain from one of their dogs that ran with them. And then you could get a dog from the Legion.
You know, and is it any wonder if they were our enemy when we were stealing the dog's brains?
Yep. But in this case, though, they tell you straight up, there's like, the old lady Nova's like, no, I don't want to really part my dog because he's part of my life. And so you're like, well, okay. I'm like, I really got worried about my own dog here. Yeah. But you could go after the fiend's dog, right? But then you find out that it's been riddled with Kims. All right, ugh, no thanks. And so you talk to it. Now, I mean, you would think too, you know, even killing the Legion's dog, I mean, how's this any different than any of the other dogs? But when you hear, though, that she's old, she's dying, and he thinks it would be a good death if you fought her in the arena, you're like, well, why the heck not, you know? Or do you disagree, Chris?
Yeah, well, I mean, at the time I was playing a villain, so I would have either done that or just took the old lady's dog. You know, I mean, like a jerk.
Yeah, if you're a villain, though, I mean, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you're a good guy, then yeah, that's the route you want to take. You know, they want him to die a good death, and you know, sure, oh, hey, I'll help you out, and then I'll take your brain.
Yep. But anyway, in trying to get my thoughts here in New Vegas, though, what was your opinion of Mr. House? What was your opinion of him?
I don't think I ever really liked Mr. House. I mean, he did, you know, did a lot for us and stuff like that, but I think he was trying to control you and make you do whatever he wanted you to do. And right. And that's the part I didn't like about him. But he did, you know, he set you on a path if you joined up with him. So I can't remember the faction I actually ended with. It might have been House himself. Oh, I think I killed Mr. House. So I think I killed him. My bad.
Oh, I think I remember the faction, Chris. I think it was Yes Man.
Yeah, the Yes Man. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Where you take over New Vegas for yourself?
Probably so, because at the time, like I said, I was a straight villain.
Right. So you know, being able, you know, have the whole run of the place to yourself. I mean, that's, you have to admit, that's pretty tempting, pretty cool. What, now I've heard a lot of people say that in comparison to Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 4 is not that good. What's your view on that, Chris? Was it not that good or what?
I never finished Fallout 4. I don't think I really gave it a fair chance. I would say it would be right up there with New Vegas. It would be better than 3 because 3 was just older. But
right.
What I enjoyed playing 4 until I just suddenly stopped. I liked everything I did in New Vegas, but without totally beating it, I don't know how it would compare. As far to me, every game usually gets better. I don't think it was worse. I was enjoying it at the time. It'd be a toss up. I would say it would be equal as New Vegas or a little less than New Vegas. But with it not finishing it, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And what little bit of time we got left here, could you give us a quick rundown on what you think about the New Dawn?
The Far Cry New Dawn?
Far Cry New Dawn.
It's really good, especially if you go into it without playing Far Cry 5, then some, you know, it's a little smaller than that game, but if you played Far Cry 5 first, definitely play New Dawn. I like it. They added in little things to make the guns matter more. Like when you go into a certain part of the map, you can run into an enemy that is more powerful than the gun you have. So you have to kind of think about leveling up your guns instead of just taking your guns and going crazy everywhere. But it's overall a really good, solid game. If you've never played one, you probably should pick up Far Cry 5 first because it's larger, but it's still enjoyable, Far Cry New Dawn.
Okay. And what makes the – what's the draw of the Far Cry series? I've played Far Cry 3 and it was definitely had a very interesting concept. You're with your friends and all of a sudden they're held hostage against your will and you're trying to free them.
Yeah.
But there's like no dialogue options or anything like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that it's just the sheer size of the map and exploring and doing different things. You have a lot of freedom. For the people who didn't get a story mode with Call of Duty Black Ops 4, I mean, it's like a Call of Duty story mode, but it's open world instead of a path that you travel on. And you have a lot of freedom to do things, and you have multitude of options to take people out if your mission is to go and free this camp. You can do it with a live person in Parkour 5 and 4, or you can do it with a ally in those, a computer ally. And you can be crafty. You can go in and make a bunch of animal bait, throw it down at the campsite, and wild animals could come in and do the work, half the work for you, like bears and lions and things. It's just a lot that you can do and explore, and you can drive cars. You can run people over in cars. You can drive into the camp with a car and run people over and jump out. Or you can go in.
I think I've done that time too much.
You can go in quiet with a sniper or bow and arrow as well. I mean, that's usually the best way to do it, is the snipe. Go in and take them all out. That way you don't set off any alarms.
Yes. Yes, that's, for those of you not familiar with Far Cry, alarms are like, if any of the guards in the outpost see you, they instantly trigger an alarm, and then instead of just battling just the people in the outpost, you get reinforcements that you have to battle too, and it makes it that much harder.
Yeah, well, you could go from just having to take out 10 people to having to take out 20 in a helicopter. It can make your life very, very, not easy, but very difficult.
Right, and I very much agree. All right, Chris, well, it's been a pleasure having you on my podcast.
That's been great.
I agree, and we'll have to have you on here again sometime. And before we close, I want to say that Chris has a podcast himself that I heavily suggest you check out. It's
Chris's podcast.
Chris's podcast. So just look at my buddy Chris Tomley and make sure to check out his podcast. Sometime he goes, he's went into great depth on Far Cry and wrestling, and he's even got some really good ghost stories too that I heavily suggest you listen into. It's an eye-opening experience.
Definitely. Definitely is.
All right, Chris.
Cool. Thanks for having me on, Seth. It's been a pleasure.
Yep. And it's been a pleasure for me as well, Chris. This is Seth signing off with Sports Games and Ghost Stories with Seth.